Would you please stand with me and find your scriptures and turn to the book of John? And remember, if you have the app that we all love, the YouVersion app, you simply go open the app, hit the little three bars at the bottom right hand, and it'll open up to events. And you click on events, and it will take you right to the Greater Bethlehem Sermon Notes page, and you can have full access to that, and we're excited about it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God for this music ministry. Give them an amen right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Those that are found it, say, I've got it.
Amen.
Those still looking, say, hold up. All right, nobody said hold up. All right, let's go. John chapter 12, I'm going to jump down to verse 27, and we're going to read all the way through verse 32. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 27, all the way through verse 32. Listen as I read. Now my soul is troubled. What should I say, Father? Save me from this hour? But that is why I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it. And I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus responded, this voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate what kind of death he was about to die. I want to put a tag on this text and preach from the subject. No turning back. No turning back. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father God, we are so grateful for today as we take time to remember Holy Week beginning with Palm Sunday, as we examine and re-examine the accounts, the path of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, when we understand what he was facing, it increases our love and appreciation and gratitude for his sacrifice. And Father, he is teaching us how to enter into difficult territory. No turning back. So Father, we pray that what we do on today would glorify you as we remember these moments in the life of our Savior on earth. Father, we glorify you, we thank you, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No turning back. Thank you so much, ushers. Appreciate y'all so much. No turning back. At the top of your sermon note card, you see our message moment for today, which captures the essence of what we'll be speaking about on today. Here is what it says. Jesus teaches us how to faithfully move forward to fulfill our destiny. Jesus teaches us how to faithfully move forward to fulfill our destiny. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem with tremendous fanfare. The people heard that he was coming, and now they celebrate his arrival. And they do it with a reception fit for a king. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Verse 12, we'll read it again in chapter 12. It says, the next day when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, Matthew records the questions of the crowd as they ask, who is this? Who is this? And I submit to you that this is the season in your life where you ought to be asking the question, who is this? See, they responded to the question, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. So we each must ask and answer the question for ourselves, who is this? Is he your Savior, the promised Messiah, or is he just another man? Is he in fact the Son of God, given as a ransom for the sins of men? Is he in fact the Lamb of God, given to be a sacrifice for all mankind? Is he the Jesus who he claimed to be? And I submit to you, beloved, that during this annual remembrance of the resurrection season, it's a good refresher for every believer under the sound of my voice, that we would not take for granted what Jesus Christ endured for us. See, I've discovered when I am reflective on what the Lord Jesus endured for me, it helps me with my prayer life. It helps me to be more accountable with my weaknesses. It helps me to appreciate what he has done for me so that I can live fully for him. So don't enter this season focused on what you're going to wear. Don't enter this season focused on what you're going to do afterwards and what you're going to eat. But focus this season upon asking the question, who is he?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, who is he to you? Some of y'all didn't turn. Some of y'all did. If your neighbor didn't turn, you got my permission. Don't slap him, just nudge him. And say, who is he to you? So as we approach our text for the morning, Jesus aligns his triumphal entry with Scripture. Our text for today, along with the other gospel accounts, is an extraction of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, and I quote, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. His entrance affirms the fact that there was no turning back. This is intentional by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wants everyone to know that the one you've been waiting for is here. So he enters Jerusalem. Now let's paint a picture of what's taking place in the context of our text. First of all, it is a season for celebration. Get that down. It is a season for celebration. It is a season for celebration. Somebody say season. For celebration. Hallelujah. It's a season for celebration. It is known as Passover. Passover. It's the annual celebration of God's miraculous salvation of Israel's sons. Passover. Exodus chapter 12 helps us to paint a picture of what Passover was all about. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, it says, I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and strike every firstborn male in the land of Egypt, both people and animals. I am the Lord. I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. The blood on the houses where you are staying will be a distinguishing mark for you. When I see the blood, oh God, I feel that by myself. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague will be among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14. this day is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it throughout your generations as a permanent statute. Somebody say, Passover. And so this annual gathering, this annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the goodness of the Lord is called Passover.
Right.
It's a season of celebration. And so the people of Israel were reflective. They would not forget how the Lord demonstrated his mercy towards them as they applied the blood of an unspotted lamb. Oh, that's going to come back again next week, because there's something about a lamb that had to be sacrificed, that his blood had to be shed so that the death angel would pass over. Oh, I need some Bible readers up in here who can testify that because of the blood applied to my life, Passover. It's a season of celebration. But something is unique about this particular annual celebration. Watch this. Jesus was there. Oh God, Jesus was there. So we have the season for celebration. Secondly, we have the shouts of celebration. Somebody say shouts. Come on, say shouts. Shouts of celebration. Well, Pastor, what were they shouting? They were shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna. This word, Hosanna, has been transliterated from the Hebrew. And it is very often used in the Old Testament. Hosanna means save us. Rescue us. Yeah. Deliver us. See, the people of Israel found themselves under the difficult and strict regime of the Roman Empire. And they wanted to be set free. They wanted to be delivered politically.
Right.
So they were waiting on a king to come with armies and with men and with weapons. And so they shouted, save us, Hosanna.
Right.
And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. But the Lord Jesus had his own approach.
Right.
Let's see here. We have, first of all, season for celebration. We have the shouts of celebration. Thirdly, we have seated for celebration. Somebody say seated. Come on, say seated. Jesus comes in, not on a chariot. But on a donkey. And this is an unusual thing. Now, of course, he's fulfilling scripture from Zechariah, but it had to be a sort of a double take for the people in that day. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9 helps us to paint a contextual picture of what it looked like. It says in verse 1, when they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, telling them, go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there to her foal. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them at once. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and its foal. Then they laid their clothes on them. And he sat on them. I'm trying to paint the picture for you. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem. Seated for the celebration. The posture
of a king. The Messiah, the one who had come to save. And as he entered Jerusalem, fulfilling prophetic words, allowing the people to see him and to understand that he was aligning with the promised Messiah, Jesus knew there was no turning back.
Right.
You couldn't take this one back. This, he's coming out now.
Yeah.
See, before he had ministered throughout the region, but now he was taking a bold stand in declaring, I am he who you've long awaited. So as you look at your handout, it says, this moment affirms that Jesus has come to be king. He has come to be king. And as we share in the celebration, we have to also understand what this meant for Jesus Christ. See, he wasn't going to fulfill it the way they wanted him to fulfill it. Because God's ways are not our ways. We want pomp and circumstance. We want silliness.
Yeah.
But the Lord comes with substance. Yeah. We want fanfare and bells and whistles. But the Lord comes in humility and power and authority. No turning. No turning back. So several things take place upon his entrance. And we're going to highlight the account in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 27. It says, now my soul is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But that is why I came to this hour. The Lord Jesus, fully aware of what lies ahead, prays, speaks to his Father. What we see next in the text is the pain of the hour. Write that down. The pain of the hour. He says, my soul is troubled. Do you see what's happening in the text? The Lord Jesus has gone from celebration to pain.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's around the corner. So as he wrestles with the pending pain of crucifixion, and that pain for him would be being spiritually separated from the Father because of our sins, Jesus surrenders. He submits his pain to the Father's will. That's why I came to this hour. So this is what I like about praying to the Lord. When you pray to the Lord is going to give you the answer to your prayers, and more than likely, you're going to be the answer to your own prayers. Lord, I need to come out of this thing. Yes, I'm coming out. I need a witness up in here. Lord, I need you to make a way out of no way. You've given me what I need. Let's make a way. So the Lord said, I could ask you to save me, Father, but why would I do that when this is the whole reason why I came?
Right.
The pain, the pain, the pain.
Yeah, yeah.
But not only the pain of the hour, the purpose of the hour. Father responds to him. Then a voice from heaven said, I have glorified it. And I'll glorify it again. See, the Father speaks to him in such a way. He says, I glorified it the first time when I sent you to earth. When you surrendered your heavenly rights. And I'm going to glorify it again when I send you to the cross where you give up your earthly rights. It's about the glorification of the Father, surrendering rights, surrendering your life, giving up for the glory of the Father. That's purpose. Purpose is understanding that the Lord has something for your life and you receiving that assignment and fulfilling it for his glory.
Oh, y'all help me preach this. Right. So the father said, yeah, I'm going to be glorified.
Right.
When you hang on that cross, it's going to hurt, but it's the only way.
Yeah.
For family devotion, Martin Luther was once reading the account of Abraham offering up his son Isaac on the altar as recorded in Genesis 22. His wife Katie said, I do not believe it. God would not have treated his son like that. To which Martin Luther replied, but Katie, he did. He did. And y'all, we have to understand the fact that the father did. He offered his son as a ransom for us. Somebody say he did. And this is the pain that Jesus faced connected to his purpose. But the text is moving. He says, the Lord spoke not for me, but for you all of his pending glory. Verse 31, he gets down to business. He says, now is the judgment of this world. He's speaking this thing, y'all. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out.
Yeah.
As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate what kind of death he was about to die. The basic meaning there is, of course, his crucifixion. But it also carries with it his glorification. The Lord Jesus has to endure the pain of the cross so that we could experience the power of redemption and salvation.
Yeah.
The lifting up of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way we make our way to heaven. Somebody say, no turning back. Jesus was born to die, and his death held eternal significance. The death of Christ means the death of death. Get that down. The death of Christ means the death of death. It's not just a play on words. The death of Christ means the death of death. The death of Jesus Christ seemed like a victory for the world, but it would really be judgment for the world. The death of Christ means the death of death. The boy and his father were driving down a country road. All of a sudden, a bumblebee flew into the window of the vehicle. The little boy was terribly frightened. While driving, the father grabbed the bee for just a moment and then released it back into the car. The boy was frantic and screaming and just hollering, Daddy, there's a bee in the car, Daddy. The father said, Son, look at my hand. You see that stinger? The bee can harm you no more. See, the father understood the pain and the reality of taking that stinger, and he understood that although the bee was still flying, the sting of the bee had been removed. Child of God, we don't need to worry about death because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has taken the sting out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that when he died upon the cross, he took the sting of death.
All right. Yeah.
So, child of God, I need you to walk in the assurance that death has no control over you. The Lord Jesus has taken care of death with his death, burial, and resurrection. His death ushered in the death of death. But secondly, the death of Christ means the defeat of Satan. The death of Christ means the defeat of Satan. He says in verse 31 again, now is the judgment of this world. Now, the ruler of this world will be cast out. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Oh, God. See, on the cross, Jesus would defeat Satan. Oh, God. Even though Satan is permitted to go to and fro on the earth, Satan exists as a defeated enemy. Oh, I need a witness up in here. Let me make this plain. I've watched some basketball games of recent, and you got a team that's going to a playoffs, and you got a team that ain't going to the playoffs.
Right.
But they still got to finish out the season. I'm trying to get you to see this. See, the team that ain't going is already defeated. They can win that game, but watch this. They're not going to the playoffs. And I'm here to help you to understand. I understand the enemy is roaming and seeking those he may devour, but that's because he's too stupid to know he's been defeated. Is there a witness in the house that can celebrate because Jesus said the ruler of this world will be cast out? We got to rejoice in that. We got to walk in that. See, I'm convinced too many of us are preoccupied with death and preoccupied with the devil. And we give both way too much attention. We don't understand that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, we are overcomers of that that seeks to destroy us. The death of Christ means the death of death, means the defeat of Satan. I'm finished. Thirdly and finally, the death of Christ means the deliverance of all who believe. The deliverance of all who believe. The deliverance of all who believe. What does he say in verse 32? He said, as for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw, King James said, all men unto me. The death of Christ means the deliverance of all who believe. Through the lifting up of Jesus upon the cross comes the drawing of believers unto himself. And that drawing symbolizes those who would place their faith in him and those to whom deliverance would be granted. See, some of us believe we can make it to heaven by bypassing Jesus and the cross. I'm not making it up. And there's all these ideologies that are circulating that there are multiple paths to heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Jesus said, watch this. If I am lifted up, That lifting up is both crucifixion and glorification. If I am lifted up, then I need a witness up in here. I'll draw all men unto me. See, we could not be drawn to him if he hadn't been lifted up. In other words, he had to die. And as a result of his submission and surrender to his own death, he ushered us into the very presence of God. Right. I'm finished, but I need someone in here to know. As we enter this season of Holy Week, I need you to know that there is one way, there is one person. Word of God says, for there is one God.
and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for many.
But you're walking around defeated. I'm finished. You're walking around defeated. And you don't understand Jesus has already given you the victory.
Right. Yes,
sir. Vernon Grounds tells of his incident. These seminary students, in between classes, these seminary students would go to this elementary school to play basketball. And the janitor would just very patiently allow them to play. They can just release some steam. They've been studying all semester. They were tired. They needed a refresher. So the janitors allowed them to play, and on one particular day, he was reading through the book of Revelation.
All right.
One of the most difficult books in all of Scripture. And he's reading Revelation, and so the seminarian saw him reading this book, this little janitor. And that's the janitor, the man who opened up the school and closed the school and cleaned up the school. He went to the janitor and said, hey, sir, I want to ask you a question. What does it mean? I mean, you're reading Revelation, but just help me to understand. What does it all mean? And the janitor, never looking up to the young man, says, well, young man, the best I can come up with, it means that Jesus is going to win. Good night, y'all. That's all I got. And as the old man testified, he said, the best I can come up with is that Jesus is going to win. And I stopped by here this Sunday morning to shout by myself and to invite you to shout with me that Jesus is going to win. Have I got a witness in the house that can testify that Jesus is going to win? Now, I'm not going to take him to the cross this Sunday, but I need you to know that he made his way down to the cross. He was falsely accused by the council of Jews, taken from courtroom to courtroom. Hail Hosanna on Monday and crucified on Friday. But in the end, I say in the end, Jesus wins. Give your neighbor a high five and say, neighbor, I need you to know that in the end, Jesus wins. Have I got a witness that can testify that my Bible says Jesus wins? Do you know him? Have you tried him? Say yes. 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 Hey! Hey, 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 hey! Somebody say he wins. Come on, say he wins. Come on, rejoice that he wins. Thank you, Lord. Father, we glorify you in this place. We thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you that he willingly died and he killed death. He slayed Satan. And he gave us salvation. Oh, glory to the Most High. Come on and bless him. Come on and bless him in this place. Come on and bless him. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah. Come on and stand up with me. Come on and stand up with me. If you're able, come on, stand up with me. Come on, saints. Come on, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just let's pray. Father, we just want to pause now for the refresher, the reminder of what Palm Sunday is all about. Oh, God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to endure the pain for his purpose. Thank you, Lord God, that he came with purpose-drivenness in his heart, that he would defeat death, hell, and the grave. And so we're grateful that we are recipients, oh, God, of all that he did for us. His demonstration of love. Father, we receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're not going to allow ourselves to be distracted during this season. So when someone asks us why we're so happy during resurrection season, Lord, help us to declare
that Jesus wins. Help us to declare that in the end, the Lord Jesus is victorious, which means that we too are victorious. Oh, we glorify you now. We bless you now. In the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen again. Come on, put those hands together. Come on.